News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, that's my name. Should I talk?
Yes.
Might as well. It's a radio show. They're expecting me to talk here. But we're going to talk about the history moment here. And that's the second hour, generally speaking, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her topic today is about how Italian prisoners of war picked El Paso cotton in 1943.
Cotton picking prisoners of war. World War II is in full swing. And on a hot August day in 1943, a freight train pulls into El Paso carrying over 1,000 Italian POWs. These POWs were from the Lordsburg, New Mexico internment camps to help local El Paso farmers pick cotton, since there was a shortage of workers due to the war. The prisoners were housed at the El Paso Coliseum and delivered daily to the fields to work. Farmers paid the government a prevailing wage of $1.50 per 100 pounds of cotton picked by each prisoner, and 80 cents was held in account for the prisoner, with the balance going to the government to pay for the POW program. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Oh, radio is so much fun in between the radio points
you should hear and say.
No, you don't. Talk about this page here. What's on this page?
Oh, well, what we wanted to do was talk. I'm sorry, that kind of threw me off. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, the El Paso History Alliance has an excellent Facebook page has great pictures, historical preservation information, pictures, and stories. And the admins are Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And another great partner in El Paso history is Remember an El Paso Win. The administrator, Barbara King, put in hours of work managing this Facebook page, which is one of the best Facebook pages of historical pictures and information on El Paso. So do check them out, and you'll get hooked. Now, I also want to point out real quick that as of today, the numbers for El Paso History Alliance, our Facebook page, they have 62,540 followers. And Remember an El Paso Win has 33,400. And, I mean, there's the Pioneer Association, Trost Society.
There's a lot of history.
There's tons of pages out there that are doing this great history work. And thank you all for supporting us. Obviously, we like history.
And I also run a page on Facebook called El Paso History.
That's right. Forgot
I got that one going on there. But listen, also, BGB herself is the chief administrator, Barbara Gingham. Oh, I hear bells sometimes. Anyway, administrators are Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie. Moderators are Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes. A lot going on there. And we got Carl Lombaugh still on the phone.
I want to sneak in real quick about the history moment. Christine Perez says, regarding the prisoners, her dad, as a child, worked alongside the Italians on Old Man Moon's property. His father was renting the property for cotton. His dad had memories of speaking to the Italians, having lunch with them, and he was only about 7 or 8. And she said that he had a vivid memory of the guards with rifles standing on top of cotton trailers, just keeping tabs on the prisoner. Her dad's 85 now, Sam Sanchez Sr.
Yep.
We know who that
is. Oh, yeah, and Joe Sierra told me about that. I was driving around the county with him one day doing a video for the Tiguas, and he said that's where he saw kids. As a kid, he saw POWs out there. All right, Carl, before the break, we had a caller during the break say that one of the big deals about the Pueblo Revolt, and we have a caller online, we'll get to there in just a second, but the caller wanted to make a point that when the Pueblo Revolt hit the fan, one of the things the Indians did was kill a lot of the Spanish women so there would not be a whole lot of new children coming up in that area. Is that part of the story that you know about?
Well, I'm sure women were killed, but I also know that the sister of Jose Dominguez, my ancestor, survived as a prisoner.
Okay. I just thought I'd check that.
So,
all right, let's go to our caller. Yeah, we have a caller on the line named Raul. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Just fine. How about you guys?
We're fine.
We're surviving nicely sitting here being cool.
Hey, man, good show like always, guys.
Thank you.
Maybe your guests might know about this or not, but I have a couple of suggestions for future shows since you guys are talking about places nearby in New Mexico. One would be the petroglyphs at Three Rivers.
Oh, my,
yeah.
To learn about to learn about the Indians that did that.
Yep.
Another, which is, I know you guys would agree with me, is a fantastic place, is the Helix and the people who lived there. And last but not least, on the heyday of the KKK in El Paso, Texas.
I don't want to know, but yeah, sure. No, you're right, it's history. You know, well, they named all the schools here. They had all the schools named for Texas heroes, and they were in charge of the school board at one point. No, you're right. It's history. I just don't care for it. But you know,
I can understand. It's a very ugly part of our history.
Yeah, but it's real. It's real.
And it's sad to say that there's still remnants of that kind of thinking in this country.
There may be. You're right. Well, Raul, thanks for the call. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Raul.
See, he's gone. He's, all right.
I think Raul's gone.
See you in the streets,
Raul,
dude.
Raul's left stage.
Carl, in the future shows, we could do the Gila Cliff Dwellings, perhaps, if you're...
Yeah, that'd be fun.
If that's something you're familiar with. But definitely...
Well, I could talk about what was going on a fair bit, sure.
Well, not today. Let's get back to your family tree, because your family tree, we barely got to the first branch.
Well, you see, my dad always said that we didn't have a family tree. We had a family oak brush.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, take another direction on it, if you wish. And someday,
okay, well, staying with the same time period, and I know you've talked about these guys multiple times before because they're a big part of Texas history, and these are the three French boys that were with LaSalle.
Oh, yes.
That ended up going into New Mexico with De Vargas. And there were three of them. One was an Archibec, and one was a Grulet, and the other was a Mounier. And Grulet and Archibec were captured and taken to Spain, and basically they were allowed to come back to the New World if they pledged allegiance to Spain. And Mounier was captured and taken to Mexico, and down there he came back to Texas as an interpreter of Indian languages. And then when De Vargas comes up to do the reconquest, all three of these French boys end up going to northern New Mexico. And I don't know what happened to Mounier's descendants, but there are lots of Archibecs up there still, and they're pretty well known. And the Grulet was an ancestor to Apollonia, who was my great-great-great-grandmother.
Ah, okay.
And he married, this Grulet married Elena Gallegos, and Elena Gallegos was a very interesting woman who owned land, had a grant on the west side of the Sandia Mountains there at Albuquerque, and was very wealthy. And so there are lots and lots of descendants of Grulet and Elena all through northern New Mexico.
A little sprinkling of French is what you're saying.
By the way, we've got a picture of you up on Facebook, which don't worry about looking at it because it's a delayed feed, but it's got you pointing off into the distance outside in the desert, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm pointing to where Fountain's buried.
No, you're pointing right into my head.
It's Jackson.
I'm looking at this thing. He's Jackson pointing at me. It. Look at that. Yeah, okay, where Fountain's
Jackson's
buried.
Jackson's buried over there.
Ah, but see, I'm still buried there. No, the Fountain murder, Mr. Boy, that's another whole story. I mean, see, the thing about the history of El Paso and southern New Mexico, which are intertwined, I mean, El Paso is basically, by fault of somebody, not in New Mexico. It should have been. But anyway, just one more quick thought. When New Mexico had its statehood party for becoming a state in 1912, remember where the party was? El Paso.
Well, I remember where the party was.
Oh.
It was in El Paso.
El Paso, the statehood, yes.
There was no place big enough in New Mexico to hold a big party.
Big enough saloons.
Yeah.
I'll be
damned. You know, it was in
you didn't know that one?
Yeah, it was in El Paso. Anyway. All right, pick another branch of the tree here, of the family of Lombaugh. And by the way, real quick, you have a book on this. One of your
cousins. Well, it's not my book. I contributed to it. It was edited by Jan Gerand, who is a second cousin, and it's called Lombaugh's in New Mexico and Those Who Went Before in Germany and Iowa, and we've got about five other cousins, and her mother was a historian. Her mother was also my fifth grade teacher.
Oh.
We used to. I remember doing the Entrada, and we used aluminum foil over cardboard, and we were in the fifth grade. So that's where I got all this. Verna Sparks was a major force in my interest in New Mexico.
For general historians, or is this more of a family tree thing, or what do you got there?
Well, I think anybody who's interested in New Mexico history, there's a lot of information in there. And written by different folks, Jose Esquivel, who was the genealogist for in Santa Fe, and actually who did most of this research on Bernardo and Apollonia's ancestors. He's got a chapter in there. My cousin Pete has a chapter in there. Dallas Lombaugh has one on the Iowa Germans, but there's lots and lots of New Mexico history because our family was here for a long time, and we remembered the stories. And so this book is kind of all the cousins. Let's get those stories out there because the next generation may not remember them like we do.
Where could they find this book?
They can find it on Amazon, is the easiest way. It's, like I say, Lombaugh's in New Mexico and those who went before. But if you just put Lombaugh's in New Mexico at Amazon, it's available there.
I'll put that link
and it's
up.
It's a monster. It's 600 pages.
Jay.
Oh my! And you're still writing pages because you're still alive.
Well, yeah, that'll have to go in the next volume probably.
Oh, boy. All right, the Lombaugh story covers New Mexico and a lot of West Texas. What else? Oh, you mentioned, by the way, that you came to El Paso as a teenager, and you had a car coming in El Paso to some wedding you had to attend, and it was in August.
Oh, yeah, that was my first look at southern New Mexico, and I was 14 years old, and I had a cousin graduated with a degree in chemistry from UTEP, and we came down to his wedding in El Paso
in August.
In August, in a Mercury Monterey, with those ones with the slant backs on them.
No air conditioning. No air conditioning. Oh my God!
And this is old 85. Okay, the interstate wasn't around yet. Oh. So we come down. There's five of us: my aunt and uncle, my folks, and I. And we're coming through Socorro, and it's getting hotter and hotter. And I'm looking out on both sides of the highway, and all I see is creosote bush, and I'm wondering why anybody would want to live in a place like this. And of course, now I've spent almost 50 years here.
Oh yeah, now you're a southern New Mexico boy now.
Yeah. And so the very best thing I remember about El Paso is when we got there, we went to the travel lodge, and they had a pool.
Oh yes.
And I immediately jumped in, and all that heat went away. And then that night, we all went over to Juarez, to one of the restaurants there, and my Aunt Salima took charge, and of course all the Lombaugh spoke Spanish, and she got us a place and a big room and so on. I was sitting there, people were ordering their little fillets and this and that, and this was something else for a 14-year-old country boy.
Oh, I bet.
And then the guy sitting next to me, one of my cousin's father, said, you know, I don't drink. He said, "We think your folks would let you have this margarita."
Uh-huh.
And so I asked permission, and I got my first margarita.
Oh, what a hoot.
It's adult lemonade. It's really good.
It is. It's excellent. But anyway.
Well, to the stories of the Lombaugh, what else you got that connects El Paso with the crowd?
Got a couple of them. One is De Anza. I've got a guy that rode with De Anza. De Anza was tasked in the late 1770s to come be the military governor of New Mexico in Santa Fe, and the Comanches had just been hammering New Mexico settlements for years, and there seemed to be no way of stopping them. Every other governor had been ineffectual. And so De Anza gets to Santa Fe, and he organizes a couple of hundred troops, Spanish troops, and he gets a couple hundred Apaches, Jicaria Apaches, and some Pueblos, and he had a force of about 600, and then he tells all the settlements along the eastern border, Taos and all those other little places, said, "You ford up, you get ready, because the Comanches are going to attack you, but you be ready for them." And in the meantime, he came around, and he goes up into Colorado and comes out near Pueblo, Colorado, with these 600 men, and the Comanches in the meantime attack Taos, and they're repulsed, and they go back north through the San Luis Valley into Colorado, and De Anza finds them near what they call the Greenhorn Mountain. And the reason it's called the Greenhorn Mountain is that Cuerno Verde, Greenhorn, was the leader of the Comanche, and he had a green horn that was part of his headdress.
Oh.
And Cuerno Verde was killed by De Anza's forces. And so because of that battle, within a very few years, De Anza was able to establish the Comanche peace. And that's what, in 1784, they said, okay, the Comanche said, we're not going to attack New Mexico anymore. And maybe, maybe not, that meant El Paso as well. And we're going to keep all the French and the Americanos out of New Mexico for you.
Oh, interesting.
And then that, what that did is that allowed the traders, the people that we call Comancheros, those who trade with the Comanches, that allowed the beginning of that trade. And so they could go out from the New Mexico settlements, and they could trade bread and other things to the Comanche for buffalo hides and meat. And they could also go hunt meat themselves. Now, this had an interesting effect, because what happened is there was such a market for these buffalo hides in New Mexico that the Comanche didn't have enough help to process all the hides. And so what they started doing is raiding Texas and northern Chihuahua for slaves and captives to help process the buffalo hides.
The Comanches did?
The Comanches did.
Did they ever attack El Paso?
Well, they were a little farther east, I think. But, okay. Yeah, they'd come down all the way to Chihuahua.
I don't remember ever hearing about a Comanche attack on El Paso. There were Apaches, but not Comanches.
No, not on El Paso, no, but
no.
Okay.
Chihuahua. Farther north,
all right.
Yeah.
All right, got it. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Well, that's part of our history.
Anyway, so they're taking their people. So getting back to the El Paso part of this, De Anza then in 1779, in the fall of 79, he decides that they need to have a route between Santa Fe and Sonora. And so he takes 80 of his cavalrymen. They called them leather shirts because they wore leather armor to protect themselves from arrows, and they had these leather shields. And my Apollonia's grandfather was named Bartolo Gutierrez, and he was one of these leather shirt cavalrymen with De Anza.
Leather shirts.
That came down the Rio Grande and over the Black Range into the Mimbres and down to a place called Arispe in northern Sonora. So they're there over Christmas of 1779, 1780, and they decide, well, we need to get back to New Mexico, and so they come to El Paso. And when they come to El Paso in January of 1780, they hit a smallpox epidemic.
Oh.
And Bartolo Gutierrez is the first man to die in De Anza's group.
Wow.
And so he's buried there across the river in Juarez, in El Paso del Norte.
More history from your family, I take it. All right, Carl, we got to move on to another break here. We do that on a regular basis, but thank you for your stories. We'll get back and get some more going. And we're looking at Facebook. You got all kinds of things going on there?
Yeah, I got some stuff. I'm posting up right now the link to the book for Carl's family. So hopefully people can go to the Facebook, Amazon, and they can purchase, because it's got some amazing history. I mean, just hearing what Carl's stories are, I just imagine what the rest of the family stories are all about.
I got E. Bush on there thanking us for the show.
Well,
we do this because we think it's a good idea.
And we wouldn't do it if we didn't have the listeners who are just as enthusiastic as we are about history. So,
oh, yeah. No, and we got some good sponsors that help us be here.
That's right.
Appreciate that. Also, and in the control room there, Andrew J. Polk. He is the guy Monday through Friday on Talk El Paso. It's the only talk show that takes on the politics of El Paso. And you got all the politics that there is, but what pertains to the local people?
And what's happening, yeah.
4 to 5 p.m. every weekday right here on KTSM AM 690. Andrew J. Polk, thank you for your help this morning.
Ding!
Oh, they got the bell going in there. We've had people tell me when we had that bell as an ad campaign, they were going to strangle me or the bell. Maybe you. I don't know which. All right, back in a moment. It is the El Paso History Radio Show. We'll see you in a minute.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. The COVID-19 coronavirus is still spreading in our community, and anyone who has been exposed or is showing symptoms is asked to get tested. Information on free testing is available at epstrong.org. Find details on how to register for the vaccine at epcovidvaccine.com. eprenthelp.org has resources for tenants and landlords on rental assistance, and epbusinessstrong.org has details on grant and loan funding. From the News Radio KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let BCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective BCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-716-9085 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-716-9085. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-716-9085.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with little tips for a healthier planet. It sure feels good to step into a warm car after letting it heat up for a few minutes. However, this practice wastes gas, increases emissions, and pollutes the air. Limit idling your car to no more than 3 minutes to save money at the gas station and improve air quality. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-356-0862.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-356-0862. That's 800-356-0862.
Sponsored by Annuity General, producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got stuff going on the radio here. We got Carl Lombaugh on hold here. And somebody named Lee going to talk to us in a minute by phone. But first, we got to tell you who's coming in here next week. Next week, March the 6th, we explore the history of the Texas Mountain Trail. It starts in El Paso. Wendy Little, Robert Alvarez, and Bernie Sargent, board members, taking on a historic tour from Big Bend to El Paso. March 13th, Dr. T. Roy's back. March 13th, we got Dr. Troy Ainsworth. He has a topic for the radio show. I asked him if you got something you want to talk about. He wants to explain the early use of airplanes on the Mexican-U.S. border for surveillance in the Mexican Revolution. I'm not sure how that's going to go. But
I think it's interesting because that's the history of the Border Patrol, too.
Well, and he got that museum over there in southern New Mexico. Anyway, March the 20th, Archaeology Museum Director Jeff Romney. I hope he still has a job. They got more layoffs. Anyway, if he still has a job, they should, because he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He'll be our guest to describe the many Native American pottery items in the museum, how they were made, and where they are from. because they got an incredible pottery collection.
Oh, it's incredible. It's beautiful. I'd like to pinch a couple of them.
No.
Ah, yes. March 27th, our guest is Cindy Medina, the U.S. representative for the Villa Foundation, and she will explain the history of Pancho Villa and how in 2023 they're preparing for a 100th year commemoration of Villa's death. Cindy will also introduce us to a great-grandson of Pancho Villa, who will also be on the show with her. Cindy will share with us the U.S. and Mexico 2020 commemoration events that will be happening from Mexico City all the way to El Paso, and she'll tell us a little bit about the Villa Stash House in downtown El Paso, which just turned one. And then, yeah, I know, 1 year old. It's a cool place if you haven't been there. And then April 3rd, our guest is former UTEP professor Mario Garcia, now teaching Chicano studies at UC Santa Barbara in California, and the professor will talk about the career of former El Paso Mayor Raymond Tellez and Garcia's latest book, The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, Raymond L. Tellez.
Tellez was a big deal.
Yeah, he really was.
He really was. All right, Carl Lombaugh's on the phone, but also we got Lee on the phone. Lee, you're on the radio.
Good morning,
what
Lee.
Is up with you?
Good morning.
Hi.
Perhaps 35 years ago, National Geographic did an article on northern New Mexico. And one of the things they talked about a lot was the families of Vigil. And supposedly there was even a community named Vigilville. And I was just wondering if you have any information on the Vigil family.
Spell that.
V-I-G-I-L.
Yes.
Yeah. Los Vigils. Yeah, the most famous of the group... A fellow named Father Stanley that wrote a lot of books on New Mexico, little books about little towns and so on. He wrote a book about Donaciano Vigil. And Donaciano Vigil was after this is the second revolt now. This is the Taos Revolt of 1847.
Oh.
And I'm going to talk about that a little more in relationship to my own great-grandfather. But Donaciano Vigil, after Charles Bent was killed... at Taos in that revolt, he was the first governor of the territory of New Mexico. And after that, Donaciano Vigil was put in charge. He became the second governor of New Mexico. And apparently he was a major force in keeping the peace and making sure the transition from being Mexico to the United States was as good as it possibly could be. One of the interesting artifacts I found in southern New Mexico, or I didn't find it, but it was in the home of a man I visited, and this man was the grandson of Albert Bacon Fall, who, of course, was famous in southern New Mexico and died in El Paso. But this man had a silver loving cup that was inscribed to Donaciano Vigil.
That's bizarre.
And I've often wondered what happened to that.
Can you imagine?
That is interesting.
Well, Lee, thank you for the call. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Lee.
I think he's gone.
He's gone.
We got to take a break here. Before we do, Carl, one thing came in from Angie Salazar. You want to read that?
Oh, yeah. She said, Angie, who's in Colorado, she says that it's very interesting about the Greenhorn Mountain. We can see the Greenhorn Mountain from our back patio. So you made a connection.
We connected
there.
History for her morning in her backyard. So. Carl Lombaugh's on the phone. We're going to come back and ask you about that revolt in 1847, you said?
47.
In Taos?
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a
the
minute
Taos
here.
Revolt.
And I guess we could take another call or two. You got the number handy?
Yes, I do. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
2021 is the perfect time to add a healthy new habit to your daily wellness routine, good nasal hygiene. We all know there's bad stuff in the air, allergens, bacteria, viruses, and that some of it's very dangerous. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, you can clean your nose with Navage. Your nose is the body's air filter, and with Navage, you help your body defend itself by flushing out the crud and germs. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the world's only nose cleaner with powered suction. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and it has over 40,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Join millions of Navage users to relieve congestion and allergies, breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Let 2021 be the year you start cleaning your nose with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life. Navage.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with your free subscription to the CB Industry Report. We found out that the tailwinds in the global CB market indicates that the industry may experience a compounded annual growth rate of 59% and could grow to approximately $89 billion by 2026. Growing demand and friendly new policies could benefit investors. With these red-hot CB picks from the CB Industry Report, get your free subscription to the CB Industry Report now when you text the word PROFIT to 48542. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word PROFIT to 48542. Get front-row access to market intelligence when you text PROFIT to 48542. Text PROFIT to 48542.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New 761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, are you ready for this week? This week only in El Paso, Inc.
Home in Westside El Paso neighborhood is being transformed into a facility for migrant children.
That's up in Coronado, believe it or not. The city of Sunland Park has a new drive to bring to life an entertainment district on the river's edge.
Cool. A new dean at the Hunt School of Dental Medicine spent time with El Paso, Inc. to talk about teeth, cold, and the new college.
Teeth cold, huh? El Paso Business Journal, El Paso, Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso, Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Road construction. It's the topic on ABC 7 Extra this week. ABC 7 Traffic Tracker and Nick Patrick, two guests from TxDOT. They'll provide updates on current projects and give us a look ahead into what's coming next.
Road construction in El Paso on ABC 7 Extra this Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., only on ABC 7, where news comes first.
Yeah, news comes first. Yeah, so there. Carl Lomba, take a quick shot. We got a caller calling in, but take a quick shot at that 1847 battle or something. What was that all about?
Well, that was, in 1846, that was the beginning of the war with Mexico, and they sent Stephen Kearny, and then followed by Donovan, Colonel Donovan, with the Missouri Volunteers, and they sent them into New Mexico and to take over this part of Mexico. And then Kearny goes on to California and Donovan stays in Santa Fe for a little while, and then he comes south to El Paso. And just above El Paso, they have the first battle, which is at Brazito. But Donovan's left, Kearney's left, and they've left a man named Price, Sterling Price, in charge in Santa Fe. And everybody assumed that everything was going to be nice and quiet. Well, the Hispanos in Taos and the Indians in Taos were not happy about it all, and they, quote-unquote, revolted. Mexico was still at war with the United States, but one night they come out and they capture and kill the governor of New Mexico, who lived in Taos, and they kill a couple other people, and they attack some mountain men at a little place outside of Taos, and they attack some people down in Mora. And all of a sudden, New Mexico's in revolt. This is in January, February of 1847. And so the troops march from Santa Fe under Sterling Price, and they fight three battles, one at a place called Cañada, and another one a little farther north. And then they get to Taos, and the people in Taos, the Pueblos and the Hispanos, some of the Hispanos, but a lot of the Indians, have fortified themselves in the Taos church and in the Pueblo. And so Sterling Price brings up the cannon, and he proceeds to fire cannon into the Taos Pueblo and the Taos church. They're never really able to do much because the thick adobe walls just absorb everything.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. finally, they threw an explosive inside the building, and that sort of ended it. And then there's several more little battles in Mora and out on the Canadian over time. But that's the revolt was put down. But this is where my great-great-grandfather comes in. His name was Eberle. And he was a German from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. He was about 20 years old. And when they recruited the Missouri Volunteers, most of the volunteers were from all over Missouri. They were backwoodsmen, farmers, hunters. But the artillery companies were all Germans from the 2nd Ward in St. Louis. And there were some Germans who had some training in artillery, and they became the leaders, and they got these other guys. So my great-great-grandfather, Daniel Eberle, came west with Donovan's expedition in 1846, and the group that stayed in Santa Fe and was part of the attack on Taos and putting down the rebellion. And then in 1847, he's been in for a year. It's his term of enlistment. So in June of 1847, instead of marching back to St. Louis, he musters out in Santa Fe.
And you know why Donovan
comes over.
Go ahead. Well, you know why Donovan came to El Paso.
Because he was on his. Go ahead.
It's because we have a road named after him, and he came to see it. No.
He was there for the dedication ceremony.
No.
Yeah.
That's not what happened at all. I'm sorry, I messed up your story.
Well, so anyway, when I first found out that Eberle was in Donovan's group, I thought maybe he'd come to El Paso, but he never made it. He was left in Santa Fe.
Well, that Battle of Brazito was kind of weird because we've talked about it a number of times on the radio program. These poor Mexican guys come up to fight these well-armed militiamen, and they come up with bows and arrows and start shooting at them. And they just one more time I'll tell this, all the militiamen fell under the ground, and the Mexicans thought they killed them all. Well, no. They were falling on the ground to take better aim, and they blew away these poor guys up here in Nevada. Anyway, we got a caller on the phone who wants to talk about something. Let's ask Mr. George Sanchez, what is on your mind? You're a historian from San Eli.
I just wanted to talk to my friend Carl Lomba.
Oh, Gilbert.
George Sanchez.
George Sanchez.
Sounds like
that. From Trujillo.
Yes, uh-huh.
What's up?
You were talking to Vigil, and I wanted to remind you that there has been three different books written that prove that the Vigils are descended from Charlemagne.
Oh, wow. That's a
I think I'd heard that, yes.
Charlemagne, that's
In fact,
a serious...
You may have told me that.
It's a serious lineage there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I discovered, you know, from I have an ancestor named Francisco Montes Vigil the First, and he was an ancestor of Juan Gurule, my grandfather. And anyway, it turns out that Charlemagne is my 35th great grandfather.
Oh my! How do you count that stuff?
He's
oh
a
my.
Prince of a guy. What can
how
I
do you
say?
Even know that?
Like I said, there have been 3 different books written.
Oh, okay.
About the regime.
That's bizarre.
Yep. And to follow up on that, during the break, I did a quick look here, and the Francisco Montes Vigil that you speak of and his wife came to Santa Fe as early as 1695, so they came up with De Vargas.
Oh,
interesting. They came in with De Vargas.
Yeah.
And they get a grant of land at Alameda. And then there are several towns named Vigil. There's one in Cuay County. There's one in San Miguel County. There's one in Union County. There's one in Ketron County.
How do you spell that? How do you spell Vigil?
V-I-G-I-L.
V-I-G-I-L. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And the one in Union County was the name was changed to Boeros, and from Vigil. And Boeros, I've got other ancestors and a whole other story about Boeros, but we won't go there now.
Hey, George,
Boeros means the place of the ox drivers.
Oh, oh goodness, why not? That's like a base of the vaca, the cowhead. Weird.
My Gurule ancestors buried the Trujillos from Sapeyo. Sapeyo is right close to Mora.
Right.
Well, George, where are you from?
Right now, I'm from El Paso, Texas.
No, but I mean, where were you born?
Originally.
Your original town.
I was born in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Okay, so you're up in that neck of the woods there. Okay, I got that. Well, George, thanks for the call.
George and I are cousins.
And I just want to tell.
We're very good buddies and distant cousins.
Well, I just want to say I'm glad to know both of you, and we're having a great family reunion. George, thanks for the call.
All righty.
You take care as you
take
see
care,
it.
Take care, George.
Thank you. Good to hear you.
See you in the streets of San Elizario. Taking a break here. Carl Lombaugh, never going to finish his family history. We're going to come back.
It's too long.
It's years. It's a tapestry.
How many years? 300 years? 400
come back
years?
With maybe one or two more when we get back in this break, Carl. And we may have to start this story over again someday. And we'll also give out that book again to figure out where to buy it. We'll take another call if it's relevant, won't we?
Yes, we will.
But they have to use a telephono.
Oh, that would help.
What's the number?
The number for them to call in is 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
With Merrill Guided Investing, you have the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member SIPC.
Pour yourself a drink and let's chat.
I like where this is going. Count me in.
I'm Erin Andrews.
And I'm Carissa Thompson. And you need to check out our podcast, Calm Down, with Erin and Carissa. No topic is off limits. We'll dive into relationships, the good ones, the bad ones.
Family, or the difficulties that come with trying to have one.
Get ready for long-winded combos that are all the things we want to say on TV but can't.
iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Listen to Calm Down on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a reason why people come into our showrooms. It starts with a smile and a warm welcome and grows into something more, a connection. The Viva Auto Group is about more than just selling cars. It's about people helping people. We're a lifestyle brand you've trusted for more than 30 years. We don't just get you behind the wheel. You become a part of our journey. We are El Paso Strong. Live the Viva experience and be a part of the lifestyle.
Find out the best tips and techniques to get your home sold and get the latest in real estate trends this week with your host, Brian Burns, Sunday at 7:30 on El Paso's news radio station, 690 KTSM AM.
Laverne Cox is no stranger to impacting the world, but now she's helping others own who they are in her first podcast, The Laverne Cox Show. On the new podcast, she talks intimately with guests about moving beyond gender expectations and living a more authentic life. It's thoughtful, reflective, and funny.
Years ago, a therapist of mine said to me in our very first therapy session that the only thing that we can control as individuals is our own perception and our own behavior. That's it.
Listen to The Laverne Cox Show on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're talking on the radio again here about the, there's a May special edition of True West Something for Everyone. That's in the magazine, 200th anniversary of the Santa Fe Trail. I think it's older than that, but don't ask Carl. Annual Historic Hotels, Saloons, Ranches of the West. The 200th anniversary of the Santa Fe Trail, they say it was 1821 to 2021, and a 160th anniversary of the Civil War. What do you got?
Well, I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, I want to let everybody know that the El Paso's Rose Garden opens up March 1st to the public. Yay! So we want to make sure you all get out there and see it again. It's a beautiful garden. The volunteers have been working. Don't pick an ear. They'll catch you. No, the volunteers have been working even through the pandemic to keep the Rose Gardens up and running. Then you have Keystone Heritage Park and the El Paso Desert Botanical Gardens located at 4200 Donovan Drive. We've been open to the public for a long time. The seagulls are back. The inland gulls are wonderful to view and a bunch of other birds that are there. And the lake is full. I mean, it's just packed. Totally full. I was surprised I was there yesterday. And it's only $2 for adults and $1 for children. And we're also taking reservations for special events for the garden.
Where's the water coming from? I mean,
The city, what they're doing is they're doing some work on the road on Donovan, and so they needed to pump the water. Now, it's all underground water, and it is so it's safe, and it's going into our wetlands. So it's wonderful to see the lake. It's like, I want to go skiing.
Oh, that's cool. All right, Carl Lombaugh's on the phone from New Mexico, talking New Mexico history in his family. You got time for a couple more stories here. What do you got, Carl?
Well, one of the stories that is of interest, we've talked about the conquistador people that came in with the Entrada and then the Germans that came in from with another Entrada coming in from the United States in 1846. But and of course they've got the Hispanic heritage, but we also have some Indian heritage in my immediate family, and in the longer range of it, we do have like the Apache servant in the House of Dominguez and so on. But I end up with about 14% Native American, and most of that comes from my another great grandfather, whose name was Casimiro Andrada, and he was born in Sonora, probably in 1830. And I don't know that he ever came closer to El Paso than 100 miles. But in early 1840s, he's captured by the Apache in Sonora. They've had this huge war going on with Sonora, and there's been scalp hunting and so on. And the Chiricahuas and the Warm Springs, they're raiding Sonora big time and taking lots and lots of prisoners. And so one of these prisoners was my great-grandfather. And his little sister.
Wow!
And the little sister disappears. So the family story said that the great grandfather Casimiro had a necktie on. He had probably a bandana. They called it a corbata, and he would tear pieces off, so hoping that somebody could follow it. But nobody ever did. And so he ends up being taken to Taos and sold or ransomed, depending on how you wanted to look at it. And in those days, the ransom for an adolescent boy was probably one old mule or an old horse and maybe a little bit of trade goods. And so that's probably what the Romero family paid for him. So he grows up in Taos with the Romero family. And then as an adult, he marries, and he may have married his wife was Carmelita Romero, and she may have been from that same family. And one of the things we learned is that after Kit Carson dies, his house, which is now a museum in Taos, but after Kit Carson dies, Casimiro Andrada buys that house from Carson's estate. And so he's there for a while with his family, and then he moves over the Sangre de Cristos to the east and into the Mora area, and that's how my grandfather ended up meeting his daughter, whose name was Fidelia. She was my grandmother.
That's a bizarre story. Well, Carl Lombard, you got all kinds of things going on. We got about a minute left here, and we've had a question come in off the air on the phones. You may not know this, but I think I can answer it. From Cito, he wants to know, what's the physical pass of the north? And they refer to the crossing of the river as the ford across the river, and that was actually the point of the map that was noted. It was where they crossed the river. It wasn't so much the canyon, although there is a canyon that people think that's the pass. Whatever. Is that your recollection of it?
That's pretty much my understanding. I'm not absolutely sure. I always assumed it was the river that went between Cristo del Rey and the Franklins.
Well, yeah, that's basically the canyon.
That would be the pass.
But when Oñate came through and they named it El Paso, they were referring to the point on the map where they crossed the river. And that's what they meant by El Paso del Rio del Norte, where they went across, because I mean that's the pass. Anyway, well, Carl, this has been fun. We got to figure out another couple of things. We had some suggestions on the Gila. We can talk about that in the future. The Three Rivers petroglyph, that is a bizarre and most amazing, what is it, 20,000 pictographs out there? No, those would be petroglyphs out there. They're picked
bunches
into,
and bunches, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing at basically how that all works there. Well, Carl, thank you very much for joining us. Last time we talked, you had a freezer full of buffalo meat. You got rid of that, right?
We did.
Okay.
We did.
It wasn't my ticket.
Well, yeah, no. But you couldn't have the event, right?
No, but they still had the ticket. Didn't I buy a ticket?
You may have.
Didn't you do it virtual?
When
this
you
year?
Do it again, let us know, because that was going to be a fundraiser for one of your things. And when you get that Cañada Alamoso paper figured out, we got to talk about that, because that's the most amazing canyon. Now, you took me up. That's what we're talking about. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us with us, Carl.
Sounds good. You're welcome, and thank you, Melissa and Jackson, and we'll see you next time.
You
fair
got
enough.
It.
Appreciate
Hopefully
that.
In the studio maybe sometime soon.
And yeah, if we can get you down here, we'll take you to Pepe's. Carl Lombaugh, thanks a lot. You take her easy.
Bueno. Take care.
And Andrew in the control room, take care,
Andrew.
Carl. Andrew in the control room, thank you much for what you do in there. Do appreciate it. And it's a kind thing you do, and you better do it because I'll get you.
He's putting up with us, live. That's for sure.
All right, and his is 4 to 5, Monday through Friday on KTSN.
Do check him out.
Yeah, indeed. Melissa, should we do this next week?
We shall do that next week.
Be back right here. See you all then.
Things, so
thanks
yay.
A lot. Going to Pepe's. Yes.
I'm going to Pepe's.
You're going to Pepe's. See you then.
Thank
take care.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.